Hi, it's Diane, and I'm very excited for my new book, Daily Meditations for Visionary Leaders. Check it out on my website, visionsapplied.com/meditation. Now, on with the show.
If you are listening to this podcast, it means you are searching. Searching for someone who understands you, someone who gets you. You are yearning to be understood and to belong. Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where we help smart, talented, and sensitive people navigate an often insensitive world. Let's welcome your host, ambassador, author, speaker, and mentor, Diane Allen. Diane has the experience and knowledge to educate and inspire, as she has been there and understands your unique intensities and their challenges.
Hi, everyone. It's Diane again, and welcome to another episode of the Someone Gets Me podcast. I'm so excited because today we have a special interview for you. It's one of the interviews of somebody who I've respected for many, many years, and it's so exciting to have her with us. So let me tell you a little about her. Her name is Carol, and she is this dynamic person who has a way to communicate with an audience that is second to none. I have seen her in action with people who didn't understand anything about what she was trying to teach, and she had to really help them see it. And I've seen her speak to advanced people. No matter the audience, she has this special gift to get the point across and motivate them beyond what even they can imagine. She has amazing expertise in leadership and development, and she's just won awards for this. So we have somebody with us today on the show that has really demonstrated how to use her gifts and her talents to support other people, and in that, of course, bringing greatness to the world. So I'm so happy you're here with us today, Carol. So today we have Carol Gill of Carol Gill Coaching, or is it CRG Coaching?
It's just carolgill.com now.
carolgill.com, which is perfect because Carol is just a dynamite speaker. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Diane. I'm honored to be here with you.
It's great to have you. So I want to dive in with some questions so that the listeners can kind of understand a little bit about who you are and kind of where you come from. So if you think about your journey, you know, to get to where you are as dynamic as you are, I'm sure it was a journey to get to this place. So is there anything that jumps out about your personal journey that you think might inspire somebody who's feeling a little doubtful or maybe a little bit worried and isn't sure they can step up? And maybe you could share something with them that would help them say, yeah, I can.
Wow, there's lots of different things. But I think that the journey started many, many years ago, and I didn't know I was on this journey. So I think that the awakening in my own mind of looking outside the norm in my life started happening in my 30s. But when I left corporate America after 17 years of being in an environment of structure and a paycheck and, you know, all of those things, and went out on my own to really help people get better at who they are and what they are doing. That was the real start of where I am now, I think. But it was percolating for a long time before I took the plunge. And I think, you know, one of the things I like to say to people is I didn't plan to be self-employed. That was not a dream I ever had. It was not a vision I created. It just seemed to happen by different things happening in my life that took me to that place. So no matter where you are in life, you can always move somewhere else if you're paying attention to the signals.
Exactly. And so what kind of signals that were you getting that said, hey, let's go this way towards something a little bit more independent than the structure of corporate world? Do you remember any of the signals that were happening?
Yeah. When I was in corporate, it was in the mid-90s and early 90s, mid-90s, and I was in a telecommunications environment. So telecommunications at that point in time was going through a lot of transition. Deregulation was happening. And so there was a lot of chaos, a lot of confusion in terms of what was going to happen. And I was caught up in that. I was in a very senior level position. I loved my work. I had been with the company for many years, really was connected to the company. And as those shifts started happening, I found myself floundering because my roles continued to be eliminated. So here I'm thinking I'm doing a great job and bleeding, you know, for the company, and lo and behold, the company is making changes and my jobs continuously were being eliminated underneath me. So the loyalty really started to shift in my own mind in terms of, I'm going to work for this company forever, to, oh my gosh, they're not looking out for me. I need to start looking out for me. So that was a big, you know, kind of hit in the face, I guess, if you want to think about it from that perspective. But it took me a couple of years to really be able to work through the fact that that was the best thing in the world that ever could have happened to me. And when I was feeling it, it didn't feel good.
Right. So as everything was disintegrating around you, yes, which in our gifted community, we call that positive disintegration, because things just disintegrate around us. And sometimes we create it, sometimes we don't, so that then we can rebuild ourselves. Exactly. And rebuild the new life. And so the disintegration often can feel really painful and really confusing and really conflicting. And then as things start to rebuild, if we stay focused on, you know, who we authentically are, we create something more beautiful. And it sounds like that's what you did.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, that's one of the things I think my listeners really often need to hear, is that it is a journey and it's way up and down sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you can think something's going to be a certain way forever. I remember getting hired someplace and thinking, I'm going to work here till I retire. Yeah. And it disintegrated around me to no fault of my own either.
Right.
And I ended up with, now what am I going to do?
Exactly.
And I've stopped that thinking of, I'm going to be at this one place forever. Like those days are long gone.
Yep.
And now it's about authenticity and being flexible and being fluid.
Right.
And being able to, you know, kind of move like a moving chess match, you know, kind of, right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I've always said that which doesn't kill us makes us stronger, right? That's a very famous quote. And that's the reality, is as you're going through, as I was going through a lot of that, it was heartbreaking. I felt betrayed by an organization that I had given so much to. And as a result of that, I acted a lot like a victim for quite some time. And people who were going through it with me stayed in that place. Luckily, I had some really awesome people that I had around me in the work environment and friends that said, you know, Carol, you can make a choice about this. And really, that was the opening for me. It wasn't pleasant when it happened because I didn't feel like I had choices, but it truly opened the window in my brain to say, wow, they're right. I do have choices. I can continue to be miserable and unhappy, or I can start doing something different. And then looking at what those differences were, it was, okay, what are the consequences of those differences? You know, what if I stay and I'm miserable, I'm going to stay the way I am, and that's not okay for me or my family. If I stay and find something else internally, maybe I can learn something new. So there's a consequence associated with that, and a benefit. If I leave, will I be able to get the same salary, which really I wasn't in that role. And so ultimately, I made a choice to move within the organization, but outside of the department that I was in, and learn a new skill set. And that really was the springboard for me to go out on my own 2 years later.
Wow, that's amazing. So that was smart to pay attention to what all the options were, you know, planning ahead enough so that you could then, probably not knowing at the time, set yourself up to move forward.
Exactly. I didn't know it at the time. I think that's the fun part is, you know, now looking back on it, I look at it and I think, wow, that was really good that I came down that path. But in the midst of it, it was horrible. It was just horrible because I didn't know. I didn't know what was right.
Right. So you didn't know what was right, but yet you still kind of checked out everything to sort out the best decision you could make. Mm-hmm. I imagine that you kind of used a lot of your discernment skills and things like that, that are so natural to you that you didn't realize you were even using them at the time.
I think that's true. And I, you know, looking back now, it's like a muscle, you know, you have a muscle and you start to strengthen that muscle of asking questions and really looking at what are my choices and where can I move within those choices and what's the end result that I'm really looking for. And I think that was a starting place for me to look inside of myself and say, what do I really want to accomplish in my life? It's not just a job. It's not just a salary. this is bigger than me. And so I felt like those were the kinds of messages I was getting, and it opened the door for me to start really exploring that, which is why, you know, when I did make the decision after another position was eliminated, I just said, you know what, I'm in this world to help people and to add value. And I don't think I can do that here. And I think I can do it outside of here. So that's when I made the choice to move on.
That's brilliant. And so that's that part of us that is very good at maneuvering and being authentic and flexible and that kind of thing, right? And yeah, it's a natural skill set you have because you're following your own inner heart's desire to help people and be there for people and be a positive impact on the world.
Right.
And so that overrode that fear and neediness to be secure in an environment that was false security anyway.
Oh, absolutely. And as a single mom with two little boys, you know, that security was a big deal for a long time. And when I finally realized that it wasn't secure at all, that at any given moment, somebody could walk into my office and hand me a pink slip and I'm out the door. It's like, wow, they have complete control over me. And that's not where I want to live. So that was a huge awakening for me.
So how did you do it? How did you get yourself? What are some tips? Like maybe there's somebody listening who's going through these big transitions or is anticipating it or wanting to make a change. So what are some things you did that helped you get yourself aligned and like in control, so to speak, in quotes, of moving toward your more authentic purpose that you knew was in there? How did you do that?
Well, first of all, I had to come up with a plan, a short-term plan, because when I said I'm going to leave the company, I needed to know that for the next 6 months, 12 months, I could feed my kids. So that was the practical, logical piece of it that I had to come up with. But, you know, luckily I had a severance and that kind of thing. So it did get me through that initial 6 months. And I said, you know, if I can earn money going forward doing this over 6 months, then I'll be good to go and I'll keep going. Otherwise, I'll go find another job. So that the practical piece was taken care of for that short term. But that's when the self-exploration really started to happen for me in terms of why do I exist on this planet? Those questions kept coming back to me. Why am I here? You know, why is all this happening? Why? And I asked lots of why questions, and you have been a great guide to me that sometimes the why doesn't matter. But it took me through the process of understanding more about who I am as a human being and what I wanted to accomplish. And one of the biggest exercises that I did for myself came from a lot of different reading and both spiritual as well as, you know, business types of things. Looking at what is my purpose in life? And at the end of the day, when I'm, you know, 6 foot under, what do I want to be remembered for? What do I want people to say about Carol Gill? And that activity, although it was very difficult and it wasn't something that happened in a day because it's scary, but that activity really got me to a place of understanding what my core purpose is. Why am I here? And it's to help other people through empowering them, inspiring them, and encouraging them to be the best they can be by tapping into what's most important to them. You know, when I came up with that, it was like, wow, this is what I've been trying to do all my life, but I just haven't been able to put a name around it. To me, it is about choices, but it's about finding what your heart is telling you is necessary, and then figuring out a way to take that and put it into a format or formula where you can actually make a living doing it. So find what you love, figure out how to put it together to be able to live your life in that space. You know, financially, you have to make money, but at the same time, you're doing what you know you're put on this earth to do.
Right. So what you did when you did the writing and the contemplating, and I really admire the fact that you said you didn't do it overnight. It's not an overnight process. It is scary to look within on those deeper levels and look at what my legacy is and how that's going to be and what do I want people to say and what kind of impact do I want to leave behind, right? And that's a very intense thing, and it's a process. And then it's also important to make sure that we stay true to our inner calling, no matter what the outside part looks like.
That's exactly true.
As part of your journey that I know about and some of your vision that you have moving forward that we've talked about is some of it's corporate training. Some of it is leadership development. Some of it is helping women and getting their voice and standing in their authority. but yet the core is the same of inspiring people to be all they can be. And so that's one of the big things I try to teach people, you know, is that the core is the same, but it can show up in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it more of a vocation and more fun.
Right.
Because you can use all your creativity in all of it, right?
Absolutely. And you're living in your own space. You know, when I find myself going off into little tangents, because, you know, mm-hmm. we get the squirrel thing and the rabbit thing and we go down these different little paths, if I know that it's still supporting that ultimate goal, then I'm good. But if it's not supporting that ultimate goal, then there's a disconnect. I'm off center. And sometimes it takes people like you, my good friend, to kind of hit me over the head and say, hey, what are you doing? And sometimes I just kind of run into the brick wall and say, oh boy, that wasn't the right way to go. But the reality is, I know in my core when it's right and when it's not right for me. The more I've gone through this process, I think the easier it is becoming to catch myself as I go into that place. And that's normal for everybody. Everybody's going to go there.
Right. So when you're talking what's right for you, you're talking right as in alignment to your inner core versus yes. right or wrong out here, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that whole right or wrong thing, that's one of the things that I deal with a lot, because in my interaction with people, you know, they're always, well, is this the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do? And I'm giving myself permission in today's world to say it's not about right or wrong. It's about what makes the most sense right now, because right, wrong doesn't get you anywhere. And so as long as I can say, you know, this feels right to me right now, you know, it's in the moment. And I think that's where, you know, we talked about the mindfulness and having that vision for what it is you want to accomplish in your life. When you have that in place, these other things just become easier to deal with on a day-to-day basis. Stay in the moment. What do I need to do right now to be able to get me a little bit closer to where I want to be? And that helps recenter me.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. And it makes so much sense. And you've been able to distill it to a way that's like palatable, like, okay, I can do that. You know, the
yeah.
steps. It's,
yeah.
it's possible.
Baby steps.
baby steps. Would you be willing to share an example of maybe somebody that you inspired, a person that you kind of were in their world and you were that person that kind of helped them see who they were and kind of a little bit about who they were and what happened, what you did for them?
Wow. It's funny because they're big and they're small, and sometimes it's the small ones that really touch my heart the most. But a very dear friend now initially came into one of my training sessions many years ago, and she showed up with quite a bit of a chip on her shoulder. And the program that I was doing was called Adventures in Attitudes. And it was really before its time, but it was an empowerment kind of project or process. 3-day training class, and I had about 20 people in the class, and she from different organizations, they weren't all from the same place. And when she walked in, she walked up to me, she introduced herself, and she said, I'm here because my boss told me I need an attitude adjustment. And she wasn't happy to be there. She had a whole lot of other things to do. Now, this was a senior level person, okay? So she wasn't a frontline person. She was a senior level manager. And I thought, okay, this is going to be very interesting. The morning of the first day, you know, the computer was there and she was, you know, trying to stay engaged, but she really wasn't engaged. And about, I would say, close to an hour before we ended, one of the activities that we were doing really hit her hard. And it was like a shock to her system from the standpoint of that can't be true. And she got pretty belligerent with some of the folks around her. And so when we closed the day, I talked to her a few minutes before she left. And she said, you know, I just don't think that I really need this. I've got so many other things on my plate. I really don't know if I'll be back. So we were doing a 3-session, right? 3 days over 3 weeks. So the following week, you know, I reached out to everybody and I asked if she was coming back. And she said, when I talked to her, she said she wasn't sure. So she showed up the second day, and about midway through the second day, I could see tears. And these were small group interactions, just conversations about communication and problem solving and working with others who are different than you. And it wasn't anything, you know, earth shattering, but the interaction, and I think the other people in the room and the energy that she was feeling, she walked up to me at lunchtime and she said, you know what? You just told me in a way that I could hear it, that I have created my own problem. I am my problem. It's not everybody else. It's me. It was like the clouds opened, you know, because that enlightenment for her to see that she was a bull in a china shop and everybody around her was afraid of her, yet she didn't realize what she was putting out there in terms of her persona and the way other people were responding to her. She felt like it was their fault, not hers. That took her on a journey, and it really was a journey from that point. But that was the enlightenment, and over the next day and a half, we really worked on some stuff that, for her personally, made a huge difference. Dial ahead a couple of years, she went through some one-on-one coaching with me. We spent a lot of time figuring out what was really important to her, what she wanted in her life, whether or not she was getting it where she was, and what she wanted to do differently. And, dial ahead now, 15, 20 years, actually it's 20 years later, she's a very successful salesperson and has her own business and is very happy and has lots of friends and people around her that care very much for her. And she really tapped into that internal piece of her that she wasn't letting out. Nobody could get in. So that's a huge success story for me. And she did it all. You know, my job is to create the environment where people can go there, that they feel safe enough to be able to go there.
Right. That's a good point. It's psychological safety.
Yeah.
We can only go as far as we feel safe mentally and emotionally and psychologically.
Right.
And so by you creating that safety with like-minded peers and that structure and connecting with her without judgment,
yep,
it gave her permission to feel safe enough to have a breakthrough that she never saw coming. And now Absolutely. Look at the success years later.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, those are the kind of things that just make all the difference in the world. And again, I could be in a room full of, 25, 30 people. And even if it's only one person that comes up to me at the end of the session and says, wow, that really impacted me, then I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. It cracks me up. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but it cracks me up when people say to me, you changed my life. It's like, no, I didn't. I really didn't. I just allowed you the space that you needed to be able to figure out what was next for you. Right. But it does make me feel good, I have to admit.
Well, because for them, you changed their life. But for you, it's an affirmation that you stayed in the flow of who you authentically are and your authentic mission. And as long as you stay authentic and your ego stays out of the way.
Right.
Then these,
that's the key.
Then these brilliant things happen around you. Yeah. And it's natural to you because that's your gift. So a lot of times people don't realize their gift as well until they have somebody like us kind of mirroring it back for them because they're in it.
Exactly. Exactly. And that, I mean, you know that you do that for me. And mm-hmm. I think we all need people around us who can do that for ourselves. Because I don't see it as, sometimes I just miss it completely. It's just part of who I am. So I don't think of it as sometimes a gift. I think of it as it's just what I do. And other people look at it like, how do you do that? So sometimes I'm surprised at the impact of something that comes to me very simply.
Right. That's part of being bright and talented. And that ability is something also that can help people feel alienated or maybe different or misunderstood. Has that ever happened to you where you felt kind of alienated and misunderstood as a result of just being who Carol Gill is?
Yes. Sometimes I don't see how other people perceive me sometimes. And I'm really very shy, even though a lot of my close friends don't see that. And so sometimes people will perceive that shyness as aloof or better than, or, I don't know, it's a little odd. So I also have to be careful of asking lots of questions when I first meet someone, because that has a tendency to make people feel a little uncomfortable as well. So I've learned to ask, I guess, comfortable questions, what brings you here? those kind of things. Because typically I can see there's a whole lot rolling under the surface, and I just may throw something out there that they're not ready to talk about yet. And so I've really had to learn how to back up on that and keep it at a higher level so that I can build that level of relationship and comfort before I dig into something I'm feeling or seeing.
Right. So would you consider yourself emotionally sensitive along with that shyness you just described?
Yeah, I really pick up on a lot of feeling and emotion around me. And I think, again, it's one of those where I can see it. I can hear it in people's voices before they realize they're even putting it out there. And so I've got to be careful in terms of how I respond to that. Because, you know, you may have a big smile on your face and look happy as can be, and you're saying something to me and I'm sensing there's a lot of angst behind what you're saying, even though it looks like you're not upset or anxious about something, there's definitely something going on under the surface. So what I then have to do is really kind of play with that a little bit to see, is it something you really want to talk about, or do you want to leave it alone? And it's hard sometimes because I just want to delve in and say, hey, I can help you. But you can't help somebody who's not ready. So that's what I've learned over the years.
Exactly. Probably from going too far too fast a couple times going, oh, okay. But that's a sign of an empath. And that's true for a lot of people who people misunderstand, think they're aloof and don't get it, is that sensitivity where you actually can kind of feel what's going on with the other person. And then it's all about learning the skills of how to engage or not.
Right.
And what's the best highest role for everybody involved. And so I'm sure that's something you hone over and over and over again over the many years that you've been creating these great things that you create. And so I invited you to give me some quotes from my book, Daily Meditations for Visionary Leaders, because I see you as a visionary leader.
Mm, thank you.
And I think that it's important for all of us to understand that and own that and honor that voice that can really transform things comes through the yous and me's of the world. It's not just Socrates and Plato and the Bible and you know, Gandhi, right? It's all of us are connected in a way, and all of us have the ability to be that visionary leader. But yet so few people actually step into that place and accept that responsibility of building the legacy that you accepted, partly not knowing you were and partly knowing you were.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is kind of, I think all of us run into it, actually. Uh-huh. And so you're also quoted in my book three times, which is higher than a lot of the other people I invited. And the reason being because the message that you communicate is clear and concise and powerful and inspiring. I'm really grateful that you're doing this interview with me, and I'm really grateful that you freely offer your time and your talent and your gifts to the book and to this great work to be one of those people, one of the 30 people that I invited to offer that gift to my readers. I've already had people giving me comments on your quotes.
Oh, great.
The book came out in December. So that was around 2 months before the recording of this podcast. And people are already noticing your quotes, flipping through the book and finding them. And to me, that warms my heart. And it's such a confirmation of the legacy that you want to lead that you just shared with us, right?
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And I love your book because I am one of those people who likes to be able to center myself. And so I'm actually looking at it on a daily basis and going through the days. So it's really good stuff. And it helps me center myself. And I think, you know, the more you can do that for yourself, and at least I've learned that for me, the better off I am. I become more even keel, I think.
Yes, I think that giving us that grounded focal point, which is why all the days are so short. I only wrote like 150 words a day so that it's manageable for anybody, right?
Right. Yeah, it really is. And it gives you thoughts throughout the rest of the day. I mean, when you think about and ponder, even if it's only 15 minutes, you're reading and just kind of thinking it through what the message is, it'll show up later in the day somehow, some way. It's just amazing how that works.
Is this about paying attention?
Yeah, it really is. And that's it. We got to slow down enough to be able to pay attention to what's happening around us.
So what are some other things you do to help keep yourself focused and grounded and take care of yourself? Like, you know, simple self-care things. What does Carol Gill do to keep charging her batteries as she wanders on this beautiful journey of hers?
Well, although a lot of people think I'm an extrovert, I'm really not. I'm an introvert. And so what that means is I energize from inside. So I have lots of wonderful people that I see all day long through networking and training and, you know, the different things that I do. And when I'm done, I'm done. I have a beautiful patio that's screened I have a lake behind me. I have a little pond that, you know, circulates the water so I can hear the water. And so that's my re-energized space. I've got beautiful flowers there and I watch the ducks on the water and maybe I'll turn music on and maybe I won't. So that's huge for me. Other things, I work out at least twice a week with a personal trainer that helps me from a muscular perspective. And that's really important too, I think, to maintain that sense of I feel good, you know, physically. Try to eat right. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't.
Right. And so, you know, but that's how it is for all of us. We're a work in progress and it's just what feels right, like turning on the music sometimes and not other times. Mm-hmm. But the commonality is that connection to nature, which has that seasons and the cycle and the nurturing and the peace that touches your soul and giving yourself permission to do that instead of turning into a machine and never going out there, even though it's right there. And then wondering why you're tired, you know?
Right. Yeah, it makes a big difference when I don't get it. And I, you know, I love the beach. So I'm also a water person, you know, with the pond and the lake. And I love the beach, love the sand, and have not been able to do that as much over the last 6 months as I would like to. So that's coming back into my routine because that's a very peaceful place for me. And it's also a place that I can feel like I really get back in touch with what matters.
That's perfect. You can go within and be in that space. I'm a beach person too, so I get that. And some people, it might be the mountains or it might be a forest. It's just a matter of finding that one thing that resonates with you, right?
Yeah.
What would you say to somebody who's kind of maybe a little bit curious or maybe having a little hard time with where they are, maybe feeling restless in a certain place and they know they want to do something bigger, they know they want to serve bigger, and they're not sure where to start? Yeah. What would you say to somebody who's kind of like, Carol, you know, like, I don't know. I just kind of feel a little bit like I needed a change. Mm-hmm. And it feels like it's from the inside out. Do you have any, you know, first steps that maybe they could try before they call you for help?
I really do. I think that, you know, the activity or the exercise, and it depends on their point of readiness. You know, if I feel like they're really ready, that they've been pondering this for a while, then I'm probably going to suggest that they do sit back and really reflect on what is the legacy they want to leave. And whether that's 50 years from now or, you know, whatever, it's not a time thing. It's a down the road when all is said and done, what do you want to leave behind? Because that piece is so huge. And if we don't take the time to think about it, then everything else we do is just stuff. We end up empty, right? We think we're doing the right thing. And then we get down the path and we sit back and we say, well, how in the heck did I end up here? You know, this isn't what I want. And I see a lot of people go through that over and over and over again. So, you know, I've put together a program that I call What's Next with Carol Gill. What's Next? Because really that's what it's about, is what's next. And there's never a finish line. We're always looking for what's next. If I'm talking with somebody that I do believe is ready to start making that, you know, that journey, then I will say, take the time, reflect on what you want to leave behind. And then we take that information and that comes up in the form of values. It shows up in the form of the vision that you want to create in your life, how you want to live, who you want to live with in terms of the people, the kinds of people you want around you. All of those pieces then create that picture of reality that you want to create. And you know this, I am a firm believer in the fact that our brain, our mind returns to reality the pictures that we feed into it. So once we have that picture, then it's a matter of step by step. Here's where we are today. This is where we want to be. This is what we want to leave behind. How are we going to create that? And it could be job, it could be, you know, family, it could be anything. So, but it's that's I think the way that makes the most sense to be able to get to that space. So that's what I suggest.
So I love that your suggestion and the way you see it is so practical and doable that it's hard for somebody to say I can't. Uh-huh. It's more about readiness, and it's more about willingness than ability.
Absolutely.
And I think that opens the doors, because a lot of bright and talented people, a lot of the gifted people out there that are listening to this podcast and that I've run into sometimes don't think they can, even though they can. And we get fed messages that aren't accurate. And some people have all of these gifted, bright, talented traits, and they don't even consider themselves that because they've never seen it from the view of someone else or from a realistic view as well. So I think that making things practical is very powerful for anybody, Absolutely. No matter who they are. We're coming to the end of me asking you all these great questions and hearing all this great wisdom from you today. Is there anything on your mind that you would like to share with our listeners? We're in 5 countries, and the listener audience is mostly all about people who are kind of not feeling like anyone gets them, really. And is there a message that you would like to leave, a legacy you would like to leave at the end of this beautiful interview?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to you, because this is fun. I've really enjoyed this. And I love the opportunity to have this kind of a dialogue with you. It's great. I think, you know, the no one gets me, I've been living in that world for a long, long time. And I do have to be cautious of, and I would just say this to folks that are feeling that way. Sometimes it's okay that people don't get you. It really is. I don't make excuses for it. I think when I'm working with someone or I'm talking with someone who doesn't quite get where I'm coming from, I just look at them and say, you know, it's a different language sometimes that I speak than you do, and it's okay. You don't need to get it. But it really is okay, because you'll find your people. You'll find the people who get you. And it's a journey, but have fun throughout that process, because you'll find people around you who truly do get you. And that makes up for all the ones who don't. And Diane, you are one of those people. You see things in people that you come in contact with that they don't see in themselves. And you did that with me, and I've seen you do it with others. And it's a wonderful experience to have that connection. So you don't get it all the time. I mean, I know lots and lots of people that I don't have that with, but I can still be friends with them. We just laugh about the different language and move on.
And that's brilliant. Have fun along the way.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to all be heavy and a problem. It can just be fun and different language. I started lately calling myself goofy. I'm just a little goofy. Yeah, that's funny. And people just laugh. Haha. And it makes everything easier, because it's all going to be okay. You know, it really is.
Absolutely.
So I want to thank you, Carol, for spending your time on this podcast with me. And for the listener audience, I will put Carol's contact information in the show notes. Her website is carolgill.com, and she spells Carol with an E. So it's CarolGill.com, correct?
Right. That's correct.
And I will put the link in the show notes. Do you have any upcoming events or anything, like, are you still doing one-on-one coaching that you would like to tell everybody a little bit about, or how they can reach you if they want to reach out to you, or is your website the best way?
Well, a couple of questions there. So yes, I still do one-on-one coaching. You can reach me through the website, or my email is carol@carolgill.com. I'm also putting together these virtual groups that I'm working with, small groups that, and that's really the what's next conversation, because I'm finding, and I do that one-on-one, but I like the group interaction, especially for folks who are really in that exploration phase. They have the ability not only to get feedback from me and guidance, but also to be able to share that in a very small, about 6 people circle. And we do that virtually. And we also have a Facebook group behind the scenes, a private group, as well as, you know, interaction that happens offline. What's next with Carol Gill can be one-on-one, or it can also be in a group setting.
Oh, that's amazing, Carol. Thank you so much. So if you're interested in contacting Carol, contact her through her website, or email her and let her know you heard her on this podcast, because she is really changing lives. And if you really are ready, call her, because I'll tell you, you will be glad you did. So this,
thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. And this ends this episode of Someone Gets Me podcast. And always remember, keep your face to the sun, because the shadows fall behind you and glory is in front of you. Until next time, see you later.
Are you tired of searching for someone who understands you? Join our Facebook group, Someone Gets Me. In this group, you will be able to connect with others who are intense, sensitive, smart, talented, and wanting to be understood. Diane shares her insights and teachings, and you can connect with others. Join today.